This is Kevin Conroy, the voice of Batman. You're listening to the Nerdcast on ProjectNerd.com.
Before we get started, does anyone want to get out?
I knew it. I knew you were bluffing. I knew he was bluffing.
Welcome to the Nerdcast.
We're just like Kevin Bacon.
Featuring Adam, Bob, Iggy, and Tyler.
Smoke and mirrors, guys. Welcome to the movie factory.
Only on Project Nerd.
It is episode 173, the Nerdcast, the most popular Nerdcast in Sweden to be. I don't know where I was going with that. Anyways, we are popular in Sweden, somewhat known in the United States, and frequently accidentally stumbled upon in Brazil. That's right. Adam, Bob, Tyler, and myself, Iggy, all here this week. Plenty to talk about, but we'll probably get to none of it. How you guys doing?
Doing good.
Yeah. All right.
I don't know. I was waiting for the setup. I was waiting for Bob to be like, oh, surviving. Tyler would be like, oh, it's terrible. And I'm going to be like, I'm loving life playing Assassin's Creed. Because that's been the last two podcasts.
You got Halloween. I mean, there's all sorts of good stuff. Come on, you guys. Live life to the fullest, y'all.
We're all here. We're excited. Yeah. They did better this week. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
We're booming. Tell those Swedes what's up. What's up? So, anyways, it is a busy, exciting week in the nerd world. It is Halloween week. So by the time this airs, obviously Halloween will have come and gone.
And Christmas music will be playing.
It was already playing. Bob. The stores don't even respect it anymore. The stuff's on the shelves. It's everywhere. Might as well. My mom's already sending me ornaments for the new tree. Yeah. So there's s'mores ornaments though. So that works.
Would you call those s'mornaments?
I would now. I would now.
Yeah, you should. Don't.
So any fun Halloween parties this past weekend or this upcoming weekend for you guys or other Halloween goodness?
So the school,
I got one.
The school, my wife and I both work, does these like science talks at a bar here in town, which is pretty fun. And Halloween night, they are doing the science of fear. So we're going to go talk about fear and drink beer for rhyming's sake. Yeah, I think that's the plan.
What's your costume?
You know what, Bob? So I'm a little bummed out because my steady Eddie go-to costume every year that I don't know what I want to be is my Sigmund Freddy Krueger. Which works just on all of the levels. It's fantastic. And it means I don't have to shave my beard. So it wins all the way around for Halloween for me.
Please don't shave that beard.
I cannot find my Freddy Krueger sweater. So I've moved. I wasn't Sigmund Freddy Krueger last Halloween. And I don't know where it is. And so I'm bummed out. And so I have to go to my fallback secondary costume, which is a modified Sean from Shaun of the Dead. With a beard, right? Yeah, because I'm not shaving the beard, right? Yes. So, hence the modified Sean from Shaun of the Dead.
I feel like you've lost the beard on Halloween's of yore, though.
Mm-hmm.
I have. So, when I was Vincent Vega from Pulp Fiction, yeah, obviously, I couldn't rock the beard there. And my wife loves coming up with Halloween costumes where I definitely have to shave the beard. You could be a baby. And it's like, no, not shaving the beard. And every time I come up with one, like this year, she's like, we were playing through the new God of War game. She goes, we could be Kratos and Atreus for
Kratos
Halloween.
I'm
like, hell yeah. I was like, hell yeah, we can. And then like literally the next day she had five other things that we were going to be. And I was like, oh, okay, well, I guess that. And none of them involved beards. So
you're going to have to do a lot of working out to get to that Kratos level though.
Yeah, I would pick some of his armor that covers.
We picked the full body armor. Bob, Tyler, any fun events or costumes?
No, not really. I usually go out for Halloween, but this year I don't really have any plans. So I did all my partying this last weekend. Mm. Had some family in town, went to the Chiefs game, did some cool stuff. So go Chiefs.
I have a costume. I'm just not planning on going anywhere with it. I might wear it to work.
I was going to say, you sit in the living room with it?
Yeah. It's one of the inflatable.
That got real creepy.
losing Adam a little bit there, but I think he was saying that was pretty creepy, but really quick. So, not last weekend we did, I took the daughter to a family friendly party, and they had the full blown movie theater in the basement, and she got to watch the movies and had a photo booth set up. So it was pretty fun. Some friends went to the grown up party that I wasn't able to go to because I had my little wonderful kids, and that was pretty fun. We did a big barbecue, trick or treating on actual Halloween with some friends. So low key, I am the worst nerd though. I show up to a Halloween party when people are like, "Oh, you should come along. You should come along." And you show up and they all kind of look at you because they're like, "Dude, like you're Project Nerd. Like, aren't you a geek? Like, why aren't you in costume? Everybody else is here in costume." And it's like, yeah, I failed miserably this year. So I'm definitely on the failure side. I know I'm getting the looks and of upset distaste. Tyler can't say anything. He said he's not doing anything this year either. So anyways, Halloween, obviously big. Feel free, obviously, on any of the places you find us where you can comment to share your costumes with us. We'd love to see the photos of your costumes, fun costumes, crazy costumes, weird costumes, you know, Freddy Krueger type costumes and stuff like that. Let's go on from Halloween. What happened at the box office this past weekend, Bob?
Halloween still number one. Only dropped like 58% down to 31 million. Second is still A Star Is Born. I told you guys it was going to have legs, and it is definitely showing them. 14 million there. Venom is third and 10 million. Goosebumps fourth. And the new movie this last weekend is Hunter Killer. Only did 6.6 million.
Ooh, I don't even know what Hunter Killer is.
It's kind of like a poor man's Hunt for Red October. It's got Gerard.
Oh, Butler. Yeah. Okay, I do know what you're talking
about. It really wasn't a bad...
It's a poor man's...
It really wasn't that bad. Like I said, it has...
Did you see it?
Yeah.
Yeah, of course you did.
It has Gary Oldman in it. And he definitely chews the scenery up. But yeah, it's actually a pretty good movie. And I did get to go see Halloween.
What do you think? So that's two. Tyler, have you seen Halloween yet?
Well, I have not seen it. I haven't been to the movie theater since.
Yeah.
I still haven't seen Venom yet. I have to make some time for it. But
Me neither. My son went and saw Venom, and I still haven't.
I was busy this last week, and I'll be out of town, not this weekend, but next week. And I just haven't. And then I was out of town the weekend before that. So, yeah, I've been need to find some time to get to the theater.
But, yeah, Halloween was really good. It was, and, you know, like we talked, someone made the comment that it's like the second best Halloween movie that they've made. And I tend to agree. It has those good scares. It is pretty creepy. Definitely a lot more gorier than the first Halloween.
So this weekend is Bohemian Rhapsody, which we talked about last week. Mixed reviews coming out because it dropped in Europe, many of the European countries last year, it seemed like, or last week, to very mixed reviews. And the Nutcracker and the Four Realms and the whatever, I think Adam was dubbing it, Alice in Wonderland 3 from Disney there, is also this week. So I don't know. Now with Bohemian Rhapsody not getting great reviews and everything like that, I'm kind of just nothing really exciting this weekend.
Yeah, I'm actually going to go see that on Thursday night. It is getting really kind of mixed reviews. I'm just kind of interested in seeing, is it Rami Malek, who's playing Freddie Mercury, just kind of seeing how he does. The previews, yeah, it looks like he is great. But, you know, I think, like I said last week, it's kind of a whitewash story of Queen, and I'd rather see a story about Freddie Mercury.
It's fair. It's fair. Yeah, I don't know. I'll see it for sure. It'd be interesting. But I'm with Tyler on this one. I still haven't even made it to Venom or A Star Is Born or any of that stuff. So I've got a lot of catching up to do.
That's sad. That's just sad.
It is. A little bit busy, Bob. Which, speaking of, we did, you know, wrap up Tallgrass Film Festival. If you go over to projectnerd.com, of course, you can check out some of the interviews coming out now as well as some of the reviews still. I think this past week, Bob, a couple of reviews dropped for him, namely Bikini Moon. We did drop our old pal Ethan's Man in Camo film, which features Project Nerd prominently about halfway through. So Man in Camo out there as well, hitting some of the film festivals. And of course, our Denver Film Festival coverage right now, which is awesome. Be out on the red carpet with Jason Reitman next week. So looking forward to that. But a lot of movies. We'll have a lot of reviews coming from that festival for sure. So all that going on. So I'm seeing movies, I guess, Bob. I'm seeing just not, you know, theatrical stuff.
We've
seen a lot of film festival stuff. So a lot of blank film festival review titles coming out on projectnerd.com right now as we're pumping those out. I think you still got five left from Tallgrass. I have one from Tallgrass. And then, like I said, we've got about, I want to say it's going to be around 7 or 8 from Denver at least coming out over the next couple of weeks too. So
yeah, definitely.
So some good stuff. And then just a few more weeks and Netherland Film Festival wants us out there as well. So I don't know. We got a lot of film festival happening, guys. So
okay, you're going to have to tell, where is that at?
Netherland is this little town next to Boulder. Like, literally, like, I'm going to go to the film festival for the day Saturday, drive back home and go to sleep, and then go back Sunday. It's less than it's 20-minute drive for me.
It's like the little Telluride.
No. Well, Telluride's more like Tallgrass level. Big movies show up there and everything like that. I don't want to say big movies aren't in Netherland.
Telluride is definitely bigger than Tallgrass.
But yeah. That's what I'm saying. Telluride's a big deal. Netherland, I don't want to say it's not a big deal. It's just a very small and it's very a niche type film festival. It's very big on like unique type movies and stuff like that. So some cool stuff happening. I do know, what was the Rudy Love one?
This Is Love.
This Is Love will be here at Netherland as well. It was at Tallgrass. Bob checked that one out at Tallgrass. I think you got a review for that one.
Yep.
So we'll have that coverage coming up. But he did definitely want us to share. It's going to be over at Netherland November, is that 16th, 17th, I think, is that weekend. So they'll be premiering there as well. There's some good stuff going on. The cool thing about them is that the people who run Netherland run the Front Range Film Festival in February, but more exciting is the Boulder Beer and Film Festival next in September, which is also very close to home. So just an Uber ride away to catch some craft beer and films there. Yes, guys, I said Uber ride. We drink responsibly. But it's cool because they run a number of littler film festivals around here. So a lot of stuff that we can get in good with and coverage and kind of check out. So pretty excited about it. But yeah, tons of film festival stuff happening here. Outside of film festival, it seems to be like right now, the only thing I'm seeing, well, not true, because there's a lot of the, you know, elections coming up, which get out there and vote, everything like that. But a lot of what I'm seeing on social media right now is video game stuff. Video game. I don't think Adam knows any other words outside of Assassin's Creed.
No.
Like, those are the words he says the most. But it seems like everybody except Adam is playing Red Dead. Well, anybody except us is playing Red Dead Redemption 2 right now.
I own it, but I have not had time to sit down and play it yet. Hopefully this weekend.
How many gigs is the download file?
About over 100.
That's the download file, not just the disc.
Well, I mean, if you have the disc, it's 100 gigs either way.
Oh, okay. Okay, so total.
Because it's two discs, so if you have the discs, it installs everything. I bought it digitally. So I had to remove quite a few things from my hard drive
and
get it in there because I have a lot of digital games on there. But I have not even started it up. I knew as soon, I started the download, got home, and I was like, all right, I'm going to wait until I have time to sit here for a few hours to play it. So
it took my brother 8 hours for it to download.
It did not take me that long to download.
Yeah.
Even though PlayStation throttles my big giant Google pipe, I got it. It only took an hour or so, but it was a big, big file.
People are talking, 60 hours of gameplay, and they're barely a percentage into the game and stuff. A lot of, real-life detail of, keeping your guns clean, keeping your horse good, keeping your weight maintained, all that kind of stuff. And a lot of interesting stuff going on with the game, for sure.
Yeah, I'm going to pick it up this weekend. Go to Target. They have their 2-for-1. Buy 2, get 1 free.
Does that qualify?
I'm not sure if it does.
Because last time Target did this sale, a bunch of the new stuff, you know, didn't qualify.
I don't think it qualified, but I think the new Call of Duty is okay. Assassin's Creed.
I made that face for you, Adam.
Yeah. Yeah, Adam, I could get it for free. Well, for $33.
You should get it for however much you can get it for, Bob. It's a fantastic game. Adam's a fan of Assassin's Creed, for those who haven't caught on yet. But yeah, I think right now still it seems to be Spider-Man, Assassin's Creed, Red Dead Redemption 2 seem to be the big ones being talked about. I've seen the advertising for Call of Duty, but I really haven't seen anybody talking about it.
You know, go back to Red Dead Redemption. There was something I was posted today that in the 3 days that since it's been released, it made $750 million. That ain't hay.
For sure, for sure. So the gaming community, the gaming world is super excited about it for sure. But as I say, it's a good run for a few games here. People have been really impressed, not just Adam, but with the Assassin's Creed game. Seen a lot of positive on that. Right before that was the Spider-Man game, as I was mentioning. So it seems like we've had a pretty good run for games going on right here. And I think in the middle of all of that, over on the Switch, then the Smash Brothers drop, or is it about to drop? It was Mario Party that dropped. Excuse me, Mario Party dropped, and I think it's this holiday season. We still get
Smash Brothers, right? December. I think it's December for Smash Brothers.
Sweet. I'm super stoked. I do need to get on some of that Mario Party though.
I played a little bit while I was out of town for my gamers trip, and it is Mario Party. I mean, there's a couple new things. Some of the new games using like the joy modes is interesting. For the most part, it's still just Mario Party. Random dice rolls and friends getting stars for no reason other than the fact that they're in last place and losing at everything, and it's nonsense and it's terrible and I hate it, and we had a really good time.
Right, that sounds about right for all the Mario parties. That's the thing with Mario parties, Smash Brothers, and even to a level Mario Kart, like, you know, you're not necessarily getting the same exact game, but you're getting the same experience for sure, from system to system, and we enjoy it every time. But
yeah, some of the new mini games are actually pretty fun. So,
for those that are wondering, Adam's being very quiet. We have lost him. Poor Adam has gone. He's gone to a better place.
He's playing Assassin's Creed.
Yeah, that's probably why. He's probably like, "Oh, my internet's not working. I don't know what's going on, guys." And he's over there playing Assassin's Creed. Yeah, exactly. That may be where he is.
Yeah, I don't think Smash Brothers is not till like first week of December, maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. They've got the Pokemon one coming up here in a week or two. The Eevee and the Pikachu ones. But yeah, video. I mean, it is video game season for sure right now, and people are loving it. So let us know what you think about all the games coming out. What all did you have to clear out to get Red Dead Redemption 2 onto your hard drive for your game system? Let us know. Bob, I'm looking forward to that detailed list when you get that this weekend, what all you had to clear out. But outside of that, Netflix, a few more drops around the corner. We have some big stuff from them. A House of Cards, the final season's coming up this holiday season.
Woo.
And it is, I mean, depending how you look at it, it's Frank Underwood free. I think we've had our fill of Frank Underwood, and clearly we've had our fill of Kevin Spacey. So moving on, but I'm not disappointed to see Claire kind of take over the main role there. She's a fantastic character in that series. What I was excited about, though, is the way BoJack Horseman season 5 ended, which the way most of the seasons end, it could be up in the air whether you're going to get any more of it or not. And it was announced this week that Netflix is bringing BoJack back for a sixth season. I know Tyler and I are excited. That's for sure. The other guys,
I don't know if excited is the right word.
I am
filled with, I don't know. Is there a word that combines trepidation with, I don't know.
To be honest, like,
I mean, I will watch it. That will happen.
Season 5 was, I thought, the funniest of the seasons, maybe. It can most consistently funny, while also still dealing with a lot of real topics. I don't feel like as many season 5 episodes left me with that empty feeling I had felt in previous seasons. I want to say, was it season 2 or 3? The New Mexico part was, like, I think still the roughest. The hardest part of it, for sure, when he goes down to New Mexico with the boat.
Yeah, there's a lot of I mean, that one's definitely a rough one, but I don't even want to think about it right now.
There you go. But it is coming back. And then, of course, what was huge right here before the Halloween season is the Chilling Adventures of Sabrina dropped. Netflix's new take on Sabrina the Teenage Witch. Tyler had some time to check it out. What are you thinking so far?
I'm about halfway through. I've enjoyed it so far. There's a few things about it that I mean, I have my quibbles are small. It's interesting. It's fun. There's some camera things they do that are a little odd, but if nothing else, the production design is gorgeous. Like the inside of the house, the town, the woods and stuff. It's really fun. The actress who plays Sabrina is fun. Lucy, I gotta say this right, from the original British Office and Shaun of the Dead and Studio 60 and Wonder Woman.
Yeah, I knew what you were talking about. I'm not going to get the name for you, though.
God, what is her name? Anyway, she plays one of the aunts, and then Miranda Otto plays the other aunt, and they're fantastic. I love Lucy Davis. There it is. I love them. They're fantastic. Michelle Gomez as Madame Satan is really good. So it's for those who aren't familiar, like, obviously there's been a bunch of different adaptations of Sabrina, but Sabrina was, like, originally part of – she originally comes from comic books, specifically the Archie comic books. And there's a version of them called The Chilling Adventures of Sabrina that's way, way darker than, like, the Melissa Joan Hart or the other Archie comics. And this one is a loose adaptation of those. So it definitely gets super dark. There's a lot of hailing the Dark Lord. There's a lot of talk about Satan. There's a lot of death and gore and blood and death and funness. But
those good old Archie comics.
At the same time, it's being made by the same people who are making Riverdale, which is also obviously Archie comics on the CW. So you can still see like that patina of like its CW roots on top of it. But at the same time, it's pretty ridiculous fun. It's a good Halloween. It's a good Halloween watch. Get in there, watch some witches do evil things. Hail the Dark Lord.
I feel like we need Dana Carvey going. Did you say Satan?
Yeah, right there.
I'm trying to think if Satan ever gets said, but like there is a significant amount of talk. I mean, obviously the whole premise is her signing her name in the book to, you know, pledge her soul to Satan and the Black Church. But it's really fun. I've had a really good time watching it. So once I finish it, I'll have more to say about it. But there's a lot of, you know, there is definitely Salem's in it. There's a cat, but yeah, like the cousin Ambrose is really fun. Her mortal friends are really fun. Her aunts are fantastic. Richard Coyle plays like the head of the school for witches and also the head of like the Church of Satan. And he is deliciously creepy. It's worth a watch. If you're into that sort of thing, give it a watch. See what you think.
We'll have to check it out.
You've used the words, the Dark Lord and a lot of fun together in real close proximity several times.
It's Halloween week, dude. It's Halloween.
Yeah, listen.
Slightly concerning. I'm approaching this with, like you said, maybe trepidation. I mean, and a little bit of fear.
They definitely lean into the whole, yeah, we're witches. We worship Satan. And like we sign our name in his book. Like they lean into it real hard. Like the school she gets sent to, the like, unseen school of the unseen arts or whatever, like every room in it is shaped like a pentagram, so it's all pentagrams connected to other pentagrams. And like the main entryway, there's a giant Baphomet statue with, like, you know that Baphomet statue that got put up in Oklahoma, like with the like children at his knee, like that statue sitting in the middle of the room. And there's the ants, anytime something good or happen, like there's a lot of just like under their breath instead of like you know praise God, that's a lot of, you know, praise the Dark Lord or thank the Dark. They lean into it really, really hard, and it gets kind of almost campy to a point. It's super fun. But at the same time, there's some really other, you know, dark things that happen. So
I'm surprised there hasn't been more pushback on it, though. I don't know. Maybe there is out there. I just haven't seen it, but interesting. Staying with television, though, Game of Thrones is to its final season, finally, soon. Many months away still, but closer than it used to be. I know it's eventually going to get here, Adam. It's eventually going to be here. The last season, it's going to wrap up, and HBO has already long since announced we're going to do a prequel set hundreds of years prior, all this stuff like that. This week they announced that Naomi Watts is in the lead role for that prequel. So interesting.
That'll be good.
Well, I don't know. Maybe she gets her head chopped off in the first episode, Bob. You never know with anything related to George R. R. Martin. So we'll see. But yeah, so we're starting to get some casts for that. So at this rate, we might see that prequel before we even see the final season of Game of Thrones. I don't know.
TV fans are experiencing what books fans have dealt with for decades.
What's the best? Did you see? So. I know Tyler would have seen this, but yeah, the book is announced that's releasing right now, that George R. R. Martin's releasing, is a prequel book, and it's like, you haven't even finished the other books for this part yet, and now you're going to release the prequel. I don't know if it goes hand in hand with it, or
he may never finish it. But I mean, he's always been writing other projects on the side, and he edits a lot of collections, like the Wild Cards collections and stuff like that, and writing for TV and movies. Like, I mean, but at the same time, yeah, I mean, I would not be.
That's honestly neither. That's the only explanation we need, Tyler's. Yeah. At the same time, yeah.
Neither outcome would surprise me, whether he finishes or doesn't finish it. Neither of those two.
Playing both sides.
Neither of those outcomes would surprise me. If he actually, if the book eventually comes out sometime in the next few years and, you know, whatever, I would not be surprised. If it never comes out, I also would not be surprised. This would not be the first giant epic fantasy series that has burned me by not being finished.
Tyler sounded very, like, I think that's the most heartbroken you've sounded sometime. This would not be, like, he was fighting back tears there for a second. It's going to be okay, Tyler. It's going to be okay. George R. R. Martin.
So I was actually talking about this to a friend, because a friend of mine was asking about books to recommend. He wanted a big epic fantasy series similar to, like, The Stormlight Archive by Brandon Sanderson, which is, like, three books in and it's probably going to end up being, like, 20 books, knowing Brandon Sanderson. And he's like, but I don't want something that's not finished. And I was like, all right, well, I recommended Wheel of Time. He's like, well, I've heard about that. I was like, well, it's long. I mean, there's, like, a lot of books. You have to go a long ways. But you can read it all right now because it's finished finally, because Robert Jordan died at book, like, 10 or 11, and then Brandon Sanderson finally came and finished it. But from book 1 to book 13, is it 14? For me, it was, like, 13, 14 years. I read the first one in 98, 99 and didn't read the last one until...
I got a question. What did you hit with your arm? What was that noise?
That was a spoon in a bowl.
Oh, okay. That was the weirdest noise ever.
A spoon that was sticking out of a bowl, and then it spun around the bowl when I bumped it with my hand on accident.
I don't know. What was your guys' guess? I was like, does he have a guitar, like, right there? Like, I couldn't, like, it was...
No, it was just a spoon. And then, I was talking about it to him, and I was thinking about it. It's actually now officially been longer. Like, I always, like, that's always my, that's the Wheel of Time is always the series I point to, and, like, when you get into a series, you're in for the long haul, like book one to end book. Like, that was 14, 15 years for me. And I was like, God, that was a really long time. And there were some big gaps in there because I think only a few of the books were out when quite a few of the books were out when I started it, but that ended up being a super long series, really big, thick books. But it has now been, what is it? We're 2018 now, almost 2019. It has now been almost 20 years since I read the first Game of Thrones book. Because Game of Thrones came out in 1996, and I read it in, like, my freshman year of high school, so it would have been, like, 1999, 2000. So we will, next year or the year after, we will have hit the 20-year mark from, like, reading the first book to where we're out now, which is...
I feel like you need to recommend it to more people, just like we should always recommend. Oh, you want to see a great, long-lasting sci-fi series? Go check out Firefly. You'll love it.
Well, that's a dick move.
Right?
There's a lot more Song of Ice and Fire that exists than there is Firefly exists. Like, you could at least get somewhere with it. But anyway, and a TV show will wrap it up eventually, so it's fine. It's fine. It's fine.
It's fine. It's fine. It's fine. You sound. I'm convinced. I'm convinced you're fine there, Tyler.
It's funny because it's like there's like, as much as I love big epic fantasy series that run, you know, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 books, I'm a sucker for them, but I'm also bad about, like, picking books up that are, like, halfway through, and I will read all, like, 8 or 9 of them in a row, and then you end up waiting a year or 2 years for the next one. I've done that with, you know, like, a lot of Shannon Maguire stuff, like October Day. I've done that. Harry Dresden, I picked up. There was, like, 4 books. Now there's 13, 14, and Peace Talks. Still no word on that, but he's had a lot of things going on in his life. He did finish one series though. Codex Lyra had a beginning, had a middle, had an end, like 5 books, 6 books. That's fine. He started another series. What other series? The Stormlight Archive obviously is now 3 books deep, but Brandon Sanderson says it might end up being like 20 books. At the same time, Brandon Sanderson writes about 5 books a year. So the odds of it actually finishing are pretty high, but it may take 20 years. So
As much as our Swedish fans, I'm sure, is excited of you listing titles of books, we do need to move on for the sake of time here.
Fine.
I mean, lists are super exciting. They make for great podcasts. They do. But before we head, we've covered a variety of stuff, actually. But before we head back into movies, I know we have a few other movie things to talk about. We talked a lot. We seem to be in the midst of film festivals. We do have Rocky Mountain Con next weekend, which we'll be at. We'll be helping with the children's cosplay competition as well. But on the national stage this weekend, BlizzCon, which I think half of our friends list is going to be at. None of us, unfortunately. But that's a huge one. A lot of big costumes going on. A huge, huge costume group that Project Nerd will have an early exclusive gallery for. So stay tuned for that. But even as equally exciting as we just got done with TwitchCon, which last year, the grand prize winner for the costume contest at TwitchCon was our pal, Stephen K. Smith over at SKS Props. So he came back and got to help vote on this year's winner, be a judge. And this year's winner, another Project Nerd pal, good old Casey Renee Cosplay, our lovely friend Casey, now out of Atlanta, formerly Chicago, with that gorgeous dress, fantastic costume, blowing it away. Her fiance, Toby, first of all, I found out she won like almost immediately after based on Toby's post. And if you go look at Toby's post, obviously not everybody can do that, but for those of you that are friends with him, and I have never heard a group of people screaming so loud at a TV cheering so much for him. So Casey definitely has a big fan there in her fiance. But congratulations, Casey. Obviously, we'll say kudos again to you, Mr. Stephen K. Smith. Congratulations there. But back-to-back winners for TwitchCon in the Project Nerd circle. Which one of you guys is going to win it for year three? We need to keep this going. Keep it going, guys. So. BlizzCon though, big Blizzard costumes. I don't know anything big you guys are expecting out of the show this year, game-wise, game news-wise, those words.
I mean, I think most of the WoW stuff that's going to get talked about has already leaked just because they're doing their best to damage control what has been a rocky start for Battle for Azeroth. I am curious what the Diablo news is. They've teased a lot of Diablo news prior to this, and then when people started thinking it's Diablo 4, it's an expansion for Diablo 3, they made it a point to then go back and be like, dial back the expectations, be like, okay, it's not any of these things you're saying. So what it actually will be, I'm curious. I would be surprised if there's anything really out StarCraft. I would be surprised if there's anything for StarCraft. Overwatch, I don't know. I mean, Overwatch tends to get releases constantly throughout the course of the year. I don't know if there's anything huge they could announce at BlizzCon. But the launch of like the classic vanilla servers for WoW, and if you buy a ticket, you can play the beta there. I honestly can't unless they've been playing their cards close to the chest, or there's a new IP or a new franchise that they're getting ready to launch. I would be shocked if there's anything huge announced at BlizzCon. We know there's something Diablo based. Hopefully it's not them just porting it to another system, although I don't know what systems are left to port it to now at this point. Like, they're moving it to iOS or something like that. I don't know.
They got a mobile
version of Diablo 3. I don't know. I always look forward to BlizzCon. I love Blizzard games. I still play WoW. I still play Diablo. I still play Overwatch. I honestly can't remember the last time I played a game of StarCraft, but I would be shocked if there's anything like super mind-blowing, but who knows? Maybe Blizzard will surprise us all and come out with something super crazy. So,
All right. So, yeah, convention. It's nice. November, we used to got this weekend, Rhode Island Comic Con up there at Altered Reality Entertainment. So later into the year, and we're still got some big events coming up. So for those that love the conventions, love to check that out. The great thing about BlizzCon, which was the same with TwitchCon, which obviously Twitch has its own streaming, it is a streaming platform, so that a lot to check out there. But BlizzCon, there'll be a lot of content you can find on Twitch as well as over at the Blizzard website. So if you're not able to make it out there, you can definitely check out those online platforms to see a number of the panels announcements. And then, of course, like I said, Project Nerd will have some great cosplay content coming out of that convention, including a special gallery. This group of costumes, by the way, Project Evan Blade, is I want to say they told me it was 68 different cosplayers together in this group. So there's 68 individual costumes being made for this group. Insane. Baroness Von T cosplay, who has been a big part of Project Nerd throughout the years, is a part of that as well. And then our buddy Noah Smith Images will be grabbing some of those images for us. But yeah, like 68 people, guys, like in one costume group. That's insane. Check that stuff out online. Convention-wise, I'm excited. It just makes me start thinking about 2019, what we got to look forward to. Yeah, so I'm excited. We got Planet Comic-Con at the end of March. I know we're talking about Star Wars Celebration in April. It's going to be in Chicago this year. So you get that Chicago food with that Star Wars fun.
I saw, got an email that C2E2 press applications have opened.
Yep. So they sent us over to renew our pro badges or press badges too. So C2E2 is an option. All that's right in a quick span of time. Those three, along with our potential partnership with a convention company too, that'll have some conventions around there as well. So more news to come on that. I posted it online last night. I'm super excited to talk about all the cool things Project Nerd's going to do in 2019. Some of the stuff I can't talk about yet. So it hurts. It hurts a little bit because I want to talk about it because I'm excited about it. Some of the stuff I can talk about, like we've announced the Cosplay Cookbooks return already, which if you are a costumer and you want to be a part of it, head over to projectnerd.com, find that Cosplay Cookbook button on the right side and fill out the form and you can help us there create something that's going to be amazing. 20 recipes, 20 costumes, and of course, crowdfunding. So stretch goals will be to build even further on that book with more. That's super cool. Like that alone, I think we just go out on that note right there. Cosplay Cookbook, mainly because there's food. That, I mean, for me, it all comes down to food, right? But I don't know. A lot of other exciting stuff. We've got the I'm Not Famouses, which are finally going to start. I know we've been promising those to start for a while and they haven't, but we just want to make sure everything's right. I just watched the episode we did at Tallgrass Film Festival and it feels weird saying that I laughed that much at something that I helped create, but I did find it very funny. It's a good episode, I think. So hopefully you guys find it funny, especially you Swedish and Brazilian fans that we have here. So what else we got going on, guys? I know Radults. So Rad Adults, I guess is what's the abbreviation for, is going to be a new podcast we're going to be introducing here soon. Meeple Skills will be coming over here to talk about board games and stuff like that. That's a new podcast from our gaming content providers, Ethan and crew. And more Nerdcast, more Sexy Nerd Science. One thing I'm excited about, we don't really have a plan for it. We don't have a name for it. But we recorded Evie, my 8-year-old daughter. I pulled out some movies off the shelf that she watched. And I said, hey, tell the microphone, we'll record this. Why don't you explain this movie? So she spends about 5 minutes explaining each movie and it's fantastic. It's fantastic. So we got to do something with that. We're like either going to create, like reenact what she's explaining or do a competition to have other people reenact it. I don't know, but I'm super excited to see what people come up with based on her explanation of like how Aladdin goes and stuff like that. Should be fun. I don't know. I'm geeking out about some of the content we're putting out, guys.
You sure you're not nerding out over it?
Oh, I see what you did there. See what you did. But a lot of stuff to look forward to in 2019 beyond even Project Nerd 2. So some good movies and everything, which we'll have those lists coming out on the site. But speaking of movies, more Avengers 4 news. I don't know if you want to label this as spoilers. If you're really worried about spoilers, mute for about 5 minutes. If you're not, I think we all know the time travel piece of it. So Crossbones is expected to return. He's been on set. Cool Crossbones. I'm pretty excited about that because we didn't get a lot of him as Crossbones. You know, I felt like we didn't really get any of him at all. It was like a brief moment. So I'm looking forward to seeing him as a supervillain as opposed to just some dude on S.H.I.E.L.D. who's kind of turning.
Yeah, he seemed like more of just a fancy henchman than an actual villain that people would have to work against because I'm pretty sure Black Widow takes him down very quickly and then Cap and them knock him out again relatively fast after that too. So it's like, okay, that guy was just kind of here.
Yeah. I mean, it took multiple of them to you know, kind of fight him at the beginning, but exactly, it was like 2 minutes in the movie and he's done. So I don't know. I want to see more of him. I think it can work with the time travel piece. That's why I'm super excited. Those are the words there. With the Captain Marvel movie, because we're going to get more Ronan the Accuser. We're going to get more of that. And I want to see more of that. So I don't know, maybe this piece, I don't know if it's going to reset timelines. It's going to possibly bring back something, certain villains, you know, maybe Loki will be back in our face again. I don't know, but interested to see what Avengers will do with that. I seem excited. It's kind of quiet here. I don't know.
I feel you.
All right.
Yeah, we got about 6 months left till that.
Yeah, we got a lot of movies.
We're trying not to get our excitement level up too high before.
We got Captain Marvel still. We got a Spider-Man movie still. Avengers is a long ways away.
Look, there's a lot of anticipation for it. So, at least for me. All right.
We may or may not have like 12 DC movies come out.
Might delay them, might announce them, might delay them. Yeah, we're supposed to get Aquaman this winter too, aren't
only
we?
Only like 12 Joker movies. I don't know.
Not just, supposed just to get Aquaman. Aquaman is 100% coming out like in a month or two.
Yeah, we say that, but are we seeing anything about Aquaman anywhere?
There was a newish trailer recently.
Was there?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think it was might have been the last one, but
new-ish.
I'm sure they'll push. Well, I say newish in the sense that it came out a few weeks ago. I mean, it came out a while ago, but it's. I don't know. I'm curious to see what the. I'm curious to see what the marketing push will be, because it is still. I mean, when does it? Is it December that it comes out?
December 19th or 24th.
Yeah, I've seen more marketing for Les Bomb than I've seen for.
So yeah, I mean, it's we'll see a marketing push for it. I'm sure. I'm just curious. I don't know. I don't, with now DC making it clear. I mean, obviously this movie's been in production for a while. And since it was like put in the can, or at least since it's finished shooting, like DC's made a ton of moves. So is it something they may try to bury this because it's part of the old guard and like move on to their other stuff? Or do they let it just kind of, or do they just let it kind of not so much bury it, just do its own thing? Or will they come all out and fully push it out there? So I'm curious to see what happens, because with everything else that's happening, like I feel like with between Wonder Woman getting pushed back a year and no more Batman, no more Superman, and bringing in all these other people, whether it be James Gunn or all the different people they're bringing in for Batman movies, like maybe they're content to just kind of let this one, you know, swing in the wind and move on.
Possibly. We'll see. I think it'll get some traction. I think it'll get some good ticket sales. It's a, something I think people are interested in. We'll see how it goes. But Tyler, you might have to fill us in a little bit on this, because you added this note, but IT director Andy Muschietti signs on for the live action Attack on Titan. So I know we've had a live action Attack on Titan Netflix series. Two? What?
We've had two Attack on Titan movies that are live action.
Maybe. Live action movies.
That are Japanese. Live action Attack on Titan movies. And they were been fairly well received. But Andy Muschietti, who made IT and is currently finishing up IT 2, has apparently, according to Variety, signed on with Warner Brothers to make a live-action Hollywood or American version of Attack on Titan. So
that's always a good sign. That's always the sentence you want, the Hollywood version of something that was already made.
It's not always bad. And a lot of times they're good. Sometimes they're better. Sometimes they're just different. I would contend that... the Hollywood version of, say, for instance, The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo, okay. Different, but still very good, David Fincher. Let the Right One In, American.
That's where I was going.
Amazing movie. The Swedish one is still way better. But
yeah, but they're both good and different. That's the one I was
going to. Apparently, we should just stick to adapting Swedish movies, because those always tend to turn out well. When we adapt other countries' movies, not as well. So, I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, it's going to get... I wish more people were willing to watch, you know, subtitled or foreign films. But at the same time, like, if it gets a story told to more people, then so be it. I would like to see, I mean, the Japanese version, I've only seen the first of the Japanese Attack. I'm not a huge fan of the anime, but I've seen all of the first couple seasons. And I saw the first movie and it was okay. But I would like to see that movie made with, Hollywood money behind it and Hollywood special effects, because... the special effects in the, or at least the first one, were okay, but not anything to write home about, which can be said for a lot of those anime, live action anime adaptations have always been a thing for in Japan, but they've become huge lately. Between there's a Bleach one now, obviously Netflix did the Death Note one. There's a ton of them. Full Metal Alchemist had one. Like, they've become very popular, some better than others, but letting Hollywood go run wild with an anime, we'll see what happens. We've got that, obviously we've got Battle Angel Alita coming out. We've got all these, our track record with adapting these things, or what else? What was Ghost in the Machine? Not so great. So we'll see.
Avatar The Last Airbender.
That's not anime though. That's an American cartoon made to look like anime.
He just wanted to remind everybody
that. We still didn't do very well with it.
We did not do well with it. I think we both kind of just accept the fact that that's just, that movie didn't really ever exist. So,
well, speaking of anime, I know many may not consider Studio Ghibli stuff to be anime. It's a lot more widely received, that's for sure. But in big news is fans of those movies, of Miyazaki specifically, will be excited to know that the Los Angeles Film Critic Association will be honoring Miyazaki with the Lifetime Achievement Award. Going to be an award they will give out next January, so coming up in just a few months, taking place in California. But pretty exciting. I obviously it's obvious who pointed out it really kind of picked up for him, at least stateside, with Spirited Away. I think receiving the best animated film nominations, it did. But I don't know if I can name a movie specifically that he directed. I really can't name a terrible Ghibli movie. There may be a few that aren't as good as the other ones, you know, but the ones he's responsible for, Miyazaki, there's not a bad one. Like, there's not. And so I think very well deserved. I think he impacted animation greatly and in our lifetime, and is somebody that, even though he's getting much more widely received, I still feel like he's underappreciated for the most part. And I'm excited to see that he's getting some kind of Lifetime Achievement Award. It was making me think, though, of the Miyazaki films. Do you guys got any particular ones that are your favorites?
Spirited Away, far and away, I think is his best.
Spirited Away is obviously, I think, probably his best. I will always have a soft spot for Howl's Moving Castle, though.
I really enjoy Princess Mononoke.
I was going to lean Mononoke solid there.
Movie, yeah.
I don't know. I was having this conversation with another Project Nerd member, Mia, this past weekend, and it's hard. To me, Mononoke and Spirited Away are a toss-up, but then there's also the soft spot in my heart for My Neighbor Totoro that, like, I can just always watch that one, and, like, you just want a giant Totoro yourself, right? Like, there's just, you got to have one. So, I don't know. A lot of good ones there. Gosh, yeah. The Howl's Moving Castle is great. It is fantastic. What to me, especially with Spirited Away and Howl's Moving Castle, is that so much stuff that's in the movie that wasn't brought over to the dubbed or the English version. Like, so much of the writing in there that kind of, like, the child slavery, the types of things that Miyazaki was taking on with some of these animated films, that we lose in the adaptation because we didn't want to cover some of those sensitive topics, especially when at the time, I think Disney had the rights to bring that stuff over. So interesting for sure. But I just really, really can't think of a bad movie, the ones he's responsible for. But he is the winner of one Oscar and has 75 total awards across, you know, multiple different organizations and things like that. So he is well awarded, but still underappreciated. Definitely, along with the other things. I think we've asked for your Halloween costumes, opinions on other things. I don't know. Go back in the episode and listen to what we did. But also add, what's your favorite Miyazaki film? Put it in the comments somewhere, somehow. Do that. However, we are running low on time. So what I'm going to do is head on over to final thoughts. That's right. It's that time of the episode where each one of us gives you a final thought. Typically related to what we're kind of diving headfirst into at the moment. So I don't know. We'll start with Adam this week. No, we won't, because he's frozen. We'll start with Bob this week.
Okay. This Tuesday was a huge day for home video. Yes, I went crazy. For me, the biggest thing that came out this past Tuesday was the Matrix box set. I took a look at Revolutions. I've already seen the original Matrix.
That came out this week on 4K?
Yeah.
Warner, where's the set? They didn't send us the screener. Okay, yeah. Go ahead. Sorry.
But anyways, it looks fantastic. If you have a 4K television and a player, it looks amazing. That is going to be a reference quality disc there. Unfortunately, 2001 was supposed to come out today, but it's been pushed to the 20th, and everything I've read about it, that is the title of the year.
Oh, for 4K quality?
Yeah. Yes, it is amazing.
Ooh. Might have to dip into some spending there.
Yeah.
All right. Adam, are you back with us?
Maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, you're here. All right. Hit us with your final thoughts then.
It always looks okay to me. Final thoughts would be upgrade your internet, kids. It's important to be able to talk with your friends via video chatting services. So make sure that you are constantly keeping on top of your ISPs. Make sure you're getting your 50 megabits per second when they say you're supposed to be getting it. And if not, call them on it and let them know you're displeased with their service. No, seriously, play some video games, read some books. I mean, the stuff I said earlier, what it is important, make sure you're getting what you paid for, please. But yeah, definitely play some video games, read some books. It's a good time of year. The weather's getting nice and cool. Go sit outside, enjoy that weather, and then come back inside when it gets too cool and play video games.
All right, Tyler, what you got for us?
Hopefully this weekend I will get to start playing Red Dead Redemption. Until such time, the only thing I will be doing for the next few days with my free time is reading Seth Dickinson's new book, the sequel to The Traitor, Baru Cormorant, the monster Baru Cormorant, which came out today. And I have started reading it last night, and I hopefully will have it. I mean, I know I'll have it finished the next couple of days because the first book was amazing, and I assume the second one will also be real good. So go grab Seth Dickinson's. If you haven't read the first one, go grab The Traitor, Baru Cormorant by Seth Dickinson. It's a really good book.
Maybe should have hit you guys up with this at the beginning of the episode, briefly mentioned it in there, but it is election season. I've made my one political post of the year on my personal social media accounts because I usually keep it to Project Nerd and family stuff. But I do want to say here is, yeah, go out there and vote. Whether you agree with me, whether you agree with somebody else, just go have your voice heard. That's the whole point of this, especially on your local things. I've sat down with my son. We've gone through the ballot. We've gone through the booklets. We've researched everything on it, talking about how it's impacting stuff. But right now, more than ever, we need to use these platforms, these podcasts, whatever, to remind people how important it is to go vote. So just get out there and do it, no matter what your beliefs are and everything like that. And most importantly, do the research and make it your vote, not somebody else's vote. Don't vote how they tell you to vote. So Tuesday, November 6th, have it done by then. If you got a ballot, or if you don't, head into your local where you're supposed to go vote, which you can Google any of it. It's pretty easy. They make it pretty available, that information out there. So
your polling place. Iggy, I'm so proud of you right now.
So proud of me. So with that, I'm gonna wrap us up and say we will you'll hear us, I guess. We're not gonna really see anybody else. So I hate to say we'll see you on episode 174. You will hear us on episode 174, which we hope will take place next week. But until then, signing out for Adam, Bob, and Tyler. Mm-hmm. Catch you next time.